Shalom to everybody. We are continuing, just about to finish the story of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. I think this might be the last paragraph where it's good to go back to the beginning. Today we're going to discuss Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim. That is the son of converts who, through him, the Romans found out about what was being discussed in the Beit Midrash. So, quick reminder: they were talking about the Romans, and Rabbi Yehuda said, "Well, the Romans have done some good things. They built some bathhouses in Israel, and marketplaces, minted coins, and Rabbi Yossi, no comment." Just like we said, when Big Brother is listening in communist Russia, it's better to stay silent if you don't have anything good to say. And on the other hand, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, "What are you talking about? Everything that the Romans did for themselves. They didn't do it for us." And it says there at the beginning of the story that Yehuda ben Gerim, this Judah, the son of converts, told what he heard in the Beit Midrash. And it was heard by the Romans. Now, the obvious educated guess is that as the son of servants, of converts, apparently he told his parents what the rabbis had to say about the Romans. And being that they used to be Romans, they told their former friends, and that's how the secret got out. And they said that Rabbi Yehuda, who praised the Romans, he will be the first speaker every time he wants to speak. That's his reward. Rabbi Yossi exiled to Tzipori, to Siberia, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is going to be put to death. And then he hides in the cave for 13 years and the rest of the story. And this is where we arrive at the end of the story. This is in Masechet Shabbat, Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, and this is paragraph Resh Tzadi Aleph, one of the last paragraphs in the book. Going to make a siyum soon. Nafak leshuka. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai went out to the marketplace. Chazi leYehuda ben Gerim. And he saw Yehuda, the son of converts, who began this whole fiasco. Amar adayin yesh leze ba'olam? What, this guy is still in the world? What, God didn't close the account with him? Natan bo einav ve'asau gal shel atzamot. He looked at him and turned him into a mountain of bones. Now you have to remember, this is the Shem...
Can you share your screen, if you don't mind?
Sorry?
Can you share your screen?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you very much. I always need these reminders. Thank you for not being embarrassed. Here we go.
You vaporized them.
Okay. And we have to remember that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is the one... You remember when he leaves the cave and he sees a man plowing and he burns the plow, he burns the field, he has this righteous indignation. And here again we see Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's righteous indignation, even though after he burned up the plow in the field, he was sent back to the cave as a punishment for another year. But here all of a sudden he has his righteous indignation. And the obvious question is, why is the punishment of Yehuda ben Gerim so severe? Especially as we mentioned that apparently he didn't do it on purpose. He didn't actually snitch to the Romans, and it was inadvertent, so it wasn't his fault. And those are the two obvious questions. You know, and what is the symbolism of becoming a mountain of bones? That's also something that we're going to...
I've seen this phrase before as well.
Yeah, Lechon. This phrase is...
Rashi also one time does this to someone.
Right, there are several places in Shas, in Masechet Shabbat actually, where somebody is turned into a mountain of bones. And here Rav Kook is going to explain the term. Maybe I'll just foreshadow a drop. Also, in terms of being politically correct... because it doesn't seem very nice. You have to remember two things. Number one, the Romans are seen in rabbinic literature as Esav, as the contra, as the opposite of Yaakov. And you remember that Esav's grandson is Amalek. So keep that in mind as we learn that it's not just another nation. We're talking about the most problematic of nations. In addition, another thing that we should keep in mind is today our topic is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. When we learned the beginning of the story, and you can find the class on Yeshivat Beit El or YU Torah under the title of Hawks and Doves are both necessary in our relationships with the Goyim, that Rav Kook points out that the Gemara brings all three opinions and doesn't decide. There is a time and a place to act like Rabbi Yehuda, you know, to be politically correct. Yes, Nomi, you can't get in?
No, I can't. I see you, and I see myself, and I have no sound.
Oh, if you don't have sound, so that means the problem is by you. You have to turn on your microphone. I'm sorry. Okay. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay. So there at the beginning of the Gemara gives also Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, also on the other extreme, Rabbi Shimon, who says even the good that we can learn from the Goyim, we should stay away. And also Rabbi Yossi, who's in the middle. And today we're dealing with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's opinion, which is that we have to be very wary. In other words, when I wrote the heading, Our Relationship with the Western World, Take the Good But Be Wary, today's topic is the be wary, not take the good. That we spoke about another time, but that's important to stress because in order to get the whole picture, because if you just learn a Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that's a very, very partial picture. And what we're going to talk about today is the problem of non-Jewish influence. Okay, let's see Rav Kook. Hamatara ha'elyona. Let me move a picture to the side. Okay. Hamatara ha'elyona shel Ur Hashem amitpashet bekoach vehadar shel Knesset Yisrael. The main goal, the lofty goal, of the light of God, which is spread in its strength and its glory in the Jewish people. That's our topic today, is the Jewish people as the light to the nations, and that we have to be careful not to water ourselves down. The whole beauty of the Jewish people is what Rav Kook calls a concentrate. We are the concentrated version of mankind, where especially in Kibbutz Galiot and the gathering of the exiles, so we have Jews who bring from England the good from English society, and Jews from America, and the Jews from Germany, and the Jews from Ethiopia. Everyone's bringing the good from the different societies, and we are supposed to be a concentrated form to show how all of mankind can harmonize together. Right? We've spoken about this in the past. So the idea here is the problem of Yehuda ben Gerim, of this convert who is coming from the outside in. Now also we should point out from the beginning that we all know that converts we relate to as 100% Jews. Nevertheless, again, what's our topic? To be a little wary. We know of cases, not just in the Jewish people, when somebody all of a sudden appears. You know, it could be in America, it could be Russia. You got to be a little less wary. You know, he might be a spy.
Infiltrator,
right. So that in general is something. In general, Jews, especially B'nai Torah, especially rabbis, we have a tendency to be naive and not to be wary and to greet everyone nicely, and we're really not on our guard. And sometimes that could cause security problems, as in this story. Okay, so Am Yisrael is supposed to be in all of its strength, in its most concentrated form, hilatbia et achotam ha'elohi hativi l'knesset Yisrael. The godly spirit is embedded in the essence, in the nature of Knesset Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael is a Kabbalistic term which is used in referring to the neshamot, the Jewish neshama, the Jewish soul. Kol kach betor mamlechet kohanim vegoy kadosh. Right? We are called by God in the book of Shemot a kingdom of priests. Right? We all know and relate with respect to the special role of kohanim within the Jewish people. And the Jewish people are like kohanim to the rest of mankind. Vegoy kadosh, a nation which is holy. Now this concept of having an innate godliness is something which is very, very important in the writings of Rav Kook. I brought for you, let's look together in a source number 2. I brought from the Bala Tanya. I could have also brought from the Kuzari. The Kuzari goes so far as to say, in his opinion, others disagree, in his opinion, that a convert cannot be a prophet. And we know that there is theoretically a problem of converts serving on a Beit Din, even though we know Shmaev Al Talion and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Akiva, and there were many, many great converts and sons of converts who served on Beit Din. The bottom line is, if they're the best ones, so we accept them. But Rav Shlomo Zalman of Ladi, the Bala Tanya, in Perek Lev, the heart of the Tanya, this is the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, source number 2, he writes as follows. ומה שכתוב בגמרא, שמי שרואה בחברו שחטא, מצווה לסנותו, I hope this sounds familiar, we will learn this once together, that somebody who sins, there is a mitzvah to hate him, היינו בחברו בתורה ומצוות, וכבר קיים בו מצווה תוכיח תוכיח את עמיתך. This is only if you've already rebuked him, and already Rabbi Akiva, 1800 years, almost 2000 years ago, writes that he doesn't think that there is anyone in his generation who knows how to rebuke. And for sure, as Rav Kook writes in one of his letters, that to throw rocks on Shabbat and say Shabbos, that's like yelling at somebody in French, and he doesn't know French. So you're obviously not fulfilling the mitzvah. So only if you've already fulfilled the mitzvah, and somebody still doesn't listen to you, jump down to the end. Shemitzvah lisnotam, there are psukim, like, I hate those who hate God, which is a logical thing, right? We want those who we love, we want others to love them as well. Mitzvah la'avam gamken, but even those people who are evil, the mitzvah is to love them as well. Ushtein hen emet, both are true. Sina mitzad ha'ra shebahem, hate the bad in them, their actions. Ve'ava mitzad bechinat hatov haganuz shebahem. But love the essential goodness which is hidden in each and every Jew. Shehu nitzotz elohut shebetocham. This is the godly spirit which is found in each and every Jew. Remember, a soul is called chelek eloka mimal. It's called a spark of God. So each and every Jew has a godly spark in him. And that's one of the reasons why we have to love each and every Jew. And again, like Rav Kook is talking about here, there, of course, there are Jews who are good, and there are Jews who are bad. Tzibur, the communities, tzadikim, benonim, urashaim. They're all types. That's the bell curve. On the other hand, every Jew is a Jew, is a Jew. A Jew can baptize himself a million times, he can't be a Christian. And just like my mother used to say, don't eat like a pig, or your room looks like a pigsty, right? I could live like a pig, but I can't be a pig because I'm a human being. So too, a Jew can act like a Gentile, but can never be a Gentile. Why? Because our neshama, simply by definition, is different. Rav Kook, who we're learning in a very famous Igeret Takana, I mentioned this once, but I don't think we ever learned it inside. In source number 3, Igeret Takana literally means to fix. And that's the topic, to fix, although it just happens to be Igeret number 555, which is also Ohev Yisrael in Gematria. As Rav Tzvi Yehuda used to say that. And this is where Rav Kook writes to the Ritbaz, who was the chief rabbi at Tzfat, afterwards chief rabbi of Chicago, who disagreed with Rav Kook on Zionism. And Rav Kook is trying to explain why he is so patient and tolerant and even loves even the non-religious Zionists, the pioneers. Yida hadrat ge'ono. By the way, this is mamash a classic in the writings of Rav Kook. His genius, the Ridbaz, you should know. Sheshnei dvarim ikariyim yeshnam, shem yachad bonim kedushat Yisrael. There are two aspects which build the holiness of the Jewish people. Vehitkashrut haitkashrut Elohit imahem, and the godly relationship with the Jewish people. It's a duality. Harishon, the first thing, hu skula, the inherent essence that every Jew has, no matter how religious or non-religious he is. Klomar teva hakdusha shebnishmat Yisrael, the holy nature in the soul of Israel, miyurushat avot, that he receives, as if it were inherits, genetically, spiritual genetics from the avot, from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, kamur, lo betzidkatcha. Hashem tells us, I did not choose you because you're the greatest of the nations, or because you're the most righteous of the nations, because sometimes Jews are not the most righteous of the nations. Right? You look at the Epsteins and Weinsteins, and we mentioned before the Gemara, that the Gemara tells us that Jews are likened to the stars and to the dust. And when we are great, we're higher than the stars. And when we are bad, we are worse than any other nation. And so God didn't choose us because we're righteous. As a matter of fact, most of us remember from elementary school, Rashi brings down the Midrash that Nimrod threw Avram Avinu into the burning furnace for his beliefs, and that Avraham broke all of the idols of his father for his beliefs. Those are Midrashim. The Torah goes out of its way just to say God likes Avraham. And it doesn't mention Avraham's righteousness. And the Maharal explains, Davka, to show us that Avraham was not chosen, or I should say the Jewish people were not chosen because Avraham was a tzaddik, but the opposite. Avraham was chosen because the Jewish people, Am Yisrael, are going to come out of him. God created the Jewish people for a special role. Amzu yatzarti li tilati yisaperu. The Navi Isaiah says that this nation of Israel, I have created for the role of bringing God to the world. And when God creates, when God, even when it uses the term chooses, he doesn't choose between chocolate and vanilla. He creates chocolate, he creates vanilla. He created the Jewish people exactly for who we are. And he gave us the advantages and the disadvantages. He gave us a soul, which is specifically geared for, that we were created for this purpose, to being a light to the nations. And Rak Bavotecha Chashak Hashem La'avautam Vayivchar Bezaram Achareihem. Hashem chose the descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, no matter how we act. That's the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Vav, that we learned once. That Ben Kach Uven Kach Atem Kuriim Banim. Bnei Yisrael are called the sons of God, even, and the Gemara there brings psukim that say that Banim Mashchitim, we are corrupt children. Or Banim Lo Emun Bahem, we are children who don't believe in God. But we're still called children. No matter what, we are called children. And it's interesting, the rule in a machloka between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir is the halacha is usually like Rabbi Yehuda. In this Gemara, the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. Why is this the exception? Because the whole essence, when the Torah calls us, that God says we are his children, right? In Shir HaShirim, we are God's girlfriend. We're his wife. We're his beloved. But the whole difference is that a wife, you can divorce. A girlfriend, you can break up with. A child is always a child. You can kick him out of the house. You can kick him out of the inheritance. But he's still your kid, right? When he's called up to the Torah, he's called with your name. When he gets married, when he gives a divorce, he's always using your name. And that is the essential skula. The word skula literally means a treasure, A treasure is something which is hidden, and you don't see it outside. Sometimes outside we look good, sometimes we look bad. But the chidush is that the specialness of Am Yisrael is a treasure, a hidden treasure. Vazgulahu koach kadosh pnimi. It is an internal, holy essence, munach beteva hanefesh beretzon Hashem, that God decided to place in the Jewish people. What is holiness? Why is Shabbat holy and the rest of the week not? God decided this is holy. He created Shabbat as something holy. The same thing, the land of Israel. You can do a geological test and not see any difference between the land of Israel and another land. But this, Hashem said, this is holy. The same thing, you could do a genetic or DNA test on the Jewish people. Right? There are a lot of converts who entered the Jewish people. And we don't care. Because when a Jew has this essence, Chazal even go out of their way to say that somebody who converts, his soul was standing at Sinai. But so we'll have to understand how Yehuda Ben Gerim fits in there. Maybe I'll just foreshadow a drop so I don't forget. There's a big machloket whether we accept converts from Amalek. And apparently, we are looking at Yehuda Ben Gerim as a member of the Romans, who are Esav, who are Amalek. Okay? Continues Rav Kook, we are in Source 3 Aleph. Kmo teva kol davar mehametziyut. Just like everything as it's created, there is an essence of a dog. There's an essence of a cat. There is a... Every creation has their essence. She'i efshar lo lishtanot klal. So to the Jewish people, cannot change our essence. Ki hu amar vayehi. As it says regarding creation, God said, and it was. God says we are special, and we are. And you know what? God's powers are a lot stronger than ours. God's actions and his creation are a lot stronger than ours. And even if a Jew can act totally Gentile and totally evil, his godly essence is still there. There's nothing we can do. V'yamided la'ad le'olam chok. Right? It is, what is chok? Chok is chiseled into us. And even if you don't understand, that's the difference of a chok and a mitzvah. A mitzvah, or a mishpat, is a mitzvah that we can understand. A chok is something that we don't understand. So too, we don't understand exactly why the Jews are so different. But the fact is that we are different, whether we like it or not. Piskabet. Vehasheni. Okay, so the first essence of the specialness of the Jewish people is our godly nature, the Jewish soul. The second thing, hu inyan bichira, that is something which is based on man's free will. Don't get mixed up here. I remember when I learned this 40 years ago, I was thinking, bichira, that's God's choosing. No, the first thing that we learned about is God's choosing. Now we're talking about man's choice. Am I going to observe Shabbat or not? Am I going to eat kosher or not? Am I going to be holy or not? Zeh talui b'maaseh hatov u'betalmud Torah. That really depends on our free will. Paragraph Gimel. Hachelik shel azgula. Now, usually, if I had time to be pedagogic, I would throw out the question and ask, what do you think is greater? The goodness that man chooses or that which he was born with? What's called in Kabbalah, Gedula, what he's born with, or Givura, that he overcame obstacles and he built himself to be a tzaddik? Almost everybody would say that the Gibor, right? Somebody who chooses to do well, that is so much more important than your essence that you just happen to be born with. So that may be true regarding the world to come, that somebody who chooses to do good, he is going to be on a higher level of the world to come. On the other hand, every single Jew does get into the world to come just because he has that Jewish neshama.
We also say, tzaddik ben rasha doesn't stand in the same place as tzaddik ben tzaddik. What do we say by
Oh, you're right. Right. By Rivka. There are other explanations there also, but we'll get into that. Rav Kook tells us the exact opposite of what most people think. Hachelik shel hazgula hu harbei be'en aroch klal. He's pretty emphatic about this, right? The godly holiness that every Jew has in his basic nature is so much greater, Yoter Gadol V'Kadosh, is much greater, is much more holy, Me'achilek HaTaluy BeBechira, which is much greater than that which depends on a person's choice. Ele Shebrit Krutai Shazgula Pnimi Lotit Galeb Ezmanazek In Lefi Otam Mida Shabichira Mesayed Giluya. Right? In our world where we judge a person with our eyes, so we look at his actions because we don't know what's going on inside. But there is no comparison with something that God made and something that man made. And Rav Kook goes on to say, "Ubi'ikvita de Meshicha, in the period before the coming of the redemption, mitgaber biyoter koach hazgula, davka the pintaliyid, that Jewish neshama today is so much more important than our free will, because most of the Jews in the world are not choosing right. So if so, so what do we have left?" Shutochen zocher chazdei avot mevi goel livnei v'nehem lima'an shmo bi'ava. The concept of God redeeming the Jewish people and bringing us back to the land of Israel, that is connected with what we got from our avot, from our forefathers, with God's name, which he decided to put inside the Jewish people. Kishimcha nikra al ircha ve'alamecha. God is called Hashem Elokei Yisrael. He is called the God of Israel. Which means that in our generation, he is appearing through the nation of Israel, through the history of Israel, through the segula of the Jewish people, even if our free will is not so great. Okay, we're running out of time, so let's go back to Inaya. So
sorry,
this is...
we can't hear you very well. Is there a way to make your sound better?
Okay, I don't think so, but I was covering, I had my pages, it might have been covering the mic.
I'm driving a little something. Someone that's not muted and...
Okay.
Can you mute yourself?
Okay, can everyone mute themselves? Here, I can mute all. There, I just muted everyone. Okay. Okay, now we're going to put on the gas. So, in the first paragraph, we've spoken about the essential goodness of the Jewish people that should not be watered down by outside influences. Paragraph bet. V'rak b'tziruf ha-teva kadosh o Knesset Yisrael b'tocham pnima b'kishur amitz tivi sheyesh bo kinyan atzmi. That's why when the Jewish people have a strong bond between ourselves, yuchal or Elohi sheba'ora shel Torah la'ir yafel Yisrael ve'ala olam kulo. Remember, the goal of the light that we're talking about, remember, the Zerubbabel Shimon Bar Yochai, the Zohar, the shining light of the Torah, is not just for us, it is for all of mankind. V'nivrchu v'cha kol mishpachot ha'adama. Hashem tells Avram, the special soul that I'm giving the Jewish people is not just for you, it's for all of mankind. It's supposed to benefit. We'll teach them monotheism, we'll teach them morality, we'll give them the Bible, our history will show God to the world, etc. V'chol zesh, chol zman shenimtza mura b'knesset Yisrael koach kazeh, shemitnei chashivuta ra'ui hu liyot po'el v'rashum, ubikir bo munachat zarut lativiyut el yonah shel Knesset Yisrael. But sometimes, when there is a zarut, there is a certain foreign element, which is, he's referring here, the symbolism of Amalek, who even when they convert, again, many opinions say, we don't even accept converts from Amalek. I have to mention, I once heard from, there was a famous professor in Bar-Ilan, I won't say his name.
Hello?
Who's a famous professor whose wife is a convert. And they're once talking about how it's not politically correct, it's not nice that converts, women, cannot marry Kohanim, men. And this woman, she gets up and she says, why not? I'm a convert and I understand it 100%. She says, somebody who grew up as a Christian every year when it comes Christmas time, cannot but yearn and reminisce about Christmas. She says, I'm not totally pure. And Kohanim are supposed to be totally pure. And Am Yisrael is a nation of Kohanim. And that's why we have to be careful of foreign influences. Let's look together in source number 6. This is something that we've spoken about in the past, where the Rambam in Hilchot Diot, Perek Vav Halacha Aleph, he writes, Derech Briyato Shel Adam Liyot Nimshach B'deotav Uvema'asav Achar Re'av V'chaverav. The nature of man is to be influenced by his friends, by his surroundings. V'noheg K'minhag Anshei Medinato. People act like those who live around them. Now, the obvious question is, the Rambam, this is the same Rambam who always writes about free will. You have free will, you can be a tzaddik, you can be a rasha, you can be good, you can be evil. So if I have super strong free will, well, I can just decide to overcome my surroundings. The Rambam is saying that you have free will to choose who you want to be influenced by. Right? If a person chooses to live in Kol Chava Shachar, or to live in Eretz Yisrael, in the state of Israel, where he's surrounded by Jews, so that is his choice, and that's who's going to influence him. As a matter of fact, the Rambam in Source 7, he writes, Afilo yushtei medinot miYisrael, even if there are theoretically two Jewish states, and one of them is more Jewish than the other, that a person is obligated to live in the more Jewish state. Now that is if there are two Jewish states. Aval im haya makom min hagoyim, but if somebody is living in a non-Jewish state, a Jew has to leave that non-Jewish state and go to live in a Jewish state where he will be influenced litova.
Even if the non-Jewish state was, let's say, had a better frum community than the Jewish
state. Oh, so the Rambam doesn't talk here about a community. Jews always lived in Jewish communities. And before Spinoza, there weren't heretics. You know, everybody was religious. Everyone's living in the Jewish community. The Rambam is talking about living in a Jewish state. And even if that state would be in Uganda, theoretically, all Jews should leave New York and would have to move to Uganda.
Has the concept of a Chiloni state.
Well, Chiloni state, like we see today, is always going to be more Jewish than any other country in the world, right? In America, you have freedom of religion. But where you have freedom of religion, you also have freedom from religion. And that's why Jews are assimilating in unbelievable numbers. Not to mention the fact that if you're a minority, instead of us influencing the majority is influencing the Jews. And that's the problem. We spoke about once how assimilation in the context of a Jewish state is something even good. Where Jews come from the Ukraine and Belarusia and Venezuela, and they weren't eating non-kosher food, and they didn't do circumcision, and here they come, and they return to be part of the Jewish people, because that's what the culture is about. And now, this is especially true when we're talking about Romans, right? I brought for you the Gemara Masechet Brachot. Rabbi Alexandri, at the end of his davening, he used to say, Ribon Olamim, Galui v'yadu alifanecha sh'ritzoninu la'asod ritzoncha. God Almighty, you know that we want to be good people. Umim ma'akev, so who's preventing us? You want us to be good, we want to be good, so what's the problem? Number one, Se'or Shebe Isa, Rashi explains, we have a Yetzer Hara, we have problematic inclinations. Number two, Shibud Malchuyot. The Romans don't let us practice our religion. And these Romans are problematic. Now, we don't have time to see inside the source number 9, where Rav Kook, we learned this about 8-9 years ago together, where Rav Kook talks about, now that we're returning to the land of Israel, and for the third time, right? We blew it the first time, God sent us to exile. We blew it the second time, God sent us to exile. This is the third and final time. We got to get this right. To get an educational system, which... Okay, I thought I did already. Mute all. Allow participants to unmute themselves. Okay, I guess somebody unmuted themselves. Okay, And Rav Kook is talking about, here, let's just dump, we don't have time to see the whole paragraph. Those who can read Hebrew, learn it in your free time. That the Jewish education has to be based, in paragraph Gimel, a Yesod Yisraeli TV. Just like the individual in education has to be Chanoch Lenar Al Pi Darko, suited for each, you could have seven children, and each one needs a different type of education, a different type of disciplining. So too among nations, every nation needs a special type of education which is suited for them. And Rav Kook says before, in the first paragraph, this is true regarding every person, it's true regarding every nation, how much more so regarding the Jewish nation, who is the most different from any other nation in the world, for good or for bad, as we said before. Right? We mentioned in the past, Sam Levinson, who says the Jews are just like everybody, just more. Right? Jews are more extreme, and for good, for better, or for worse, and therefore our education, says Rav Kook in paragraph Dalit, anachnu mukhachim liyot giborei koach lichbosh lanu derech la'atzmenu be'malach hachinuch ve'lo la'foch lekofim mechakim afilu im netargem et hakol ivrit. Rav Kook, I wrote an article about Rav Kook's love for the Hebrew language. Nevertheless, with all his love for the Hebrew language, he says if we take the German educational system and just translate it to Hebrew, like a monkey imitates a human being, right? Like you see this in zoos. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't even think about it. And when a Jew acts like a Gentile, or the state of Israel acts like a Gentile state, or a Jew accent, right? Then, even if we translate it into Hebrew, that is not the main point. Why? We have to be careful to be ourselves and not to be influenced by other people. Getting back to In Ayah, in source number one. Okay, so we have to be careful of outside factors. Paragraph Gimel. Yehuda ben Gerim Zeh, this Yehuda, the son of converts, mimenu yatz'ah ha-me'era, from him came out the problem. Now, what does it mean, came out the problem? Even if he didn't do it on purpose, right? Like we said, he probably told his parents, who still had Roman friends, and that's how he didn't do it on purpose. Nevertheless, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, yes, learn the good from the Western society and from the Gentiles. There is room, also Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's opinion, to say, no, we have to insulate ourselves and be careful from these outside factors, especially when they're Romans, especially when they're from Amalek. Where Rav Kook goes on to say, מפני מחאתו הכוללת שעל רומי, מצד ההכרה העליונה עד כמה רוח ישראל מתנגד לה. הרי, why did Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, why did he come out so bad against, so strong against the Romans, and even their bathhouses, and even things that they do good? He's saying, because Israel has to be pure, and has to be wary from these foreign influences. And remember, this is the same Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who insulated himself also from the Jewish people in 13 years, separated himself in the cave. And so that is his mecha'ah, his protest. Ulechol tova v'chazda gam yachad. Even the good in the Roman people. Here, what is the chesed of the goyim? Rav Kook mentions in source 10, I brought for you from Mishlei Perek Yud Dalet, chesed le'umim chatat. Even when goyim do good, it's problematic. In other words, even when Christians want to be our friends, we have to be careful. And it's not a secret that some of the friends, Christian friends of Israel, some of them are interested in missionizing and see the support of Israel as a way of getting us to convert to Christianity. I'm not saying all, for sure not all, but we have to be on our guard. She'einenu ki'im pishut tlafim. Rav Kook says this is like the Romans, who were likened to the chazir, to pigs, in rabbinic literature. The Persians are likened to bears, and the Greeks are likened to lions, and the Romans are likened to pigs. Why are they likened to pigs? Let's just jump down I brought for you the source in the source 11. Yalkut Shimoni. Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Chilkiah, b'shem Rabbi Simon. Kol ha'nevim lo pirsamuha. None of the prophets spoke about them. The commentaries say Romans. Elishnaim. Asaf, in Mizmor la'Asaf, in the book of Psalms, says, Yikar semena chazir miyar. They nibble like the pigs in the forest. U'moshe amar veta chazir ki mafris parsai. Moshe says, stay away from the pigs, you can't eat them. Even though externally, they have split hooves. Externally, they look kosher. The problem is internally. In other words, even when outside they're doing something good, Cheselu min chatat. Shum Bar Yochai says, be on your guard. Be very careful. Lama mushla kechazir? Why does the Tanakh liken the Romans? Remember the Romans? That's Esav. That is Amalek. Like the pigs. Elama chazir ze b'shashu rovetz hu poshet lafav. When a pig lies down, he puts out his hooves in front of him. I don't know how other animals do it, but I guess pigs do that. As if he is saying, Ra'uni shani tohor, look how pure I am. Kach umazu, the Romans, gozeled, v'chomeset, v'neret kilu matzad bima. They put on these acts as if they are the Europeans, as if they are so moral. They and the Americans so often give us mussar, complaining that the Israeli army isn't as moral as we should be. Ma and they are just like the pig who said, externally, he seems good. Internally, he's not kosher. Ma'aseh b'shilton echad b'kesarin. There was a Roman governor in Caesarea. Shaya horeg menafim v'ganavim v'machshefim. And he was in favor of law and order. He was a conservative. He put to death all those who cheated on their spouses and the ganavim, the thieves, and the witches. But his advisors said that this guy...
He was a thief sorcerer.
All on the same day. A thief, a sorcerer, and mena'if. And this is also what we see in Source 12, where Chazal tell us on the Pasuk, Vayvater Yaakov levado ve'aveki shimo analot ha'shachar, and Yaakov stayed alone. Again, what's the idea? We shouldn't mix. We have to be very wary before we mix and are influenced by the outside. We stayed alone. And he was limping. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi salak l'Romi. He went to the Rome, Romans, to the Rome. When he came back, Rabbi Chanina came out to greet him. Tala, he saw that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi was limping. And he said, oh, you're just like your grandfather, Yaakov Avinu. In other words, we are the descendants of Yaakov. The Romans, the Christians, they, Amalek, they are descendants from Esav. And we have to be very, very careful. That even when somebody, even after they convert, you have to be careful what you say and what you don't say. Because you don't know where it's going to go. And this is, again, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Now we understand why he was so angry at this guy and why he looked at him with his righteous indignation and the guy died. Because this guy did not belong in the Jewish people. He caused more harm than good, just like Amalek. Now, what is Amalek? What is the concept of Amalek that Rav Kook brings at the end? We'll just foreshadow a drop because we're finishing up. He is citing Source 13 from the Yalkut Shimoni, where it says, "K'tiv ad asher avo el Adoni Seira." Remember when Yaakov and Esav, after they hug each other, after being separated for 20 years, and Esav suggests, let's go together. Yaakov says, you know what, you go to Seir, and I'll join you when I get a chance. What does it mean, I'll join you in Edom? Chazarnu al kol mikra v'lo matzanuj, v'lo matzinu shalach Yaakov l'Seir. Yaakov never made it to Seir. So why does it... Well, Yaakov's not a liar. He's not going to say... When he said, I'll join you in Seir, what's he referring to? When will Yaakov come to Seir, to Esav? Latid, in the future. Hahu dichtiv, that the pasuk says, "Valu Moshim Baratzion lishpot et haresav vaita lashem hamlucha," that God will have the kingdom. That is when we can have contact with Esav, with Rome, with the Christians. Lefi she'ne'emar ki yad al kesya. What is it? It says at the end of Parshat Beshalach, the hand of Yad, ki yad, the hand is on the throne of God. But it does say the throne of God, kisei yukevavke. It says kes, which is half the word kisei, and ya, which is half the name of God. She'en hakes shalem, because God's throne is not complete. Velo Hashem shalem, and his name, yukevavke, is not complete. Ad sheyichrod zaro shel Esav, until we finish off Amalek. She'ne'emar ha'oyev tamu charvot lanetzach ve'arim nitashta ve'gomer ve'ashem le'olam yeshev konen le'mishpat kiso. Getting back to Rav Kook, this is how Rav Kook finishes off the paragraph. Jump down to paragraph, the end of paragraph Gimel. Al kein natan enav bo. And that is why Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai put his eyes on Yehuda ben Gerim. Ve'afisa shel hapula novat, to get rid of these negative actions. Me'achomer hara'anen anochel yesodotav midei Esav. That davki, because he converted to Judaism, and because he is a good guy, and even though we're talking about the good things that the Romans, Christians, Amalekis did for the world, nevertheless, vaya beit Yaakov ish, ubeit Yosef lava, ubeit Esav lakash. The Navi Ovadia, who, by the way, was a convert from Edom, he is the one who tells us that the house of Jacob will be the flame, and the house of Esav, that's the Romans, they will be hay. That we have to ignite them, get rid of them. Valu Moshim Bahar Tzion Lishpot Et Har Esav, Vaital Adonai Hamlucha. And again, Rav Kook is very clearly referring to the Yalkut Shimoni, that in the end, where the whole world will be God's kingdom, then there, obviously, is room to have relations with the Western world, the modern world, the Gentile world. But until then, we have to be very careful. And that is how Rav Kook is explaining Rav Shimon bar Yochai's approach. Again, it's not the only approach. Rabbi Yehuda has a totally different approach, which is more positive towards the Gentiles. But again, that we learned about the other time. If you want to understand Rav Shimon bar Yochai's more conservative, wary, insular approach to make sure that the Jewish neshama does not become watered down, because the whole idea of the Jewish people is that Jewish essence. And the Jewish essence has to take care of itself.